I'm Lauren.
And I'm Ashley. And this, guys, is Nip Tuck Pod.
We are your girl chat. We say the things you want to hear, the things that you're thinking but you don't want to say out loud. And we're all about being strong, aspirational women who basically don't give a...
Lauren, anyway, if you want unfiltered chat, amazing beauty and product recommendations, then look no further, guys. This is the podcast where you will get all of the girly chat.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I just felt like I found my identity. Like, yeah. I really found the person that I am. And I don't think people realize, like, as mixed race people, no matter what your mix is, you're very chameleon-like and you can kind of lean into lots of different cultures and ethnicities.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Vicky Patterson, The Secret 2. This week, I am joined by model, body positive content creator, and refuge ambassador, Aisha Perry Iqbal. Welcome, gorgeous. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm all right, Nate. I am, I've got a brand new mic. You're the first person I've used it for, and I'm very excited.
Honestly, I wish I had a fancy mic too.
Well, babe, when you're walloping out about six of these some weeks, you need one. You absolutely need one. Do you like it? We haven't got a name for her yet. I'll let you, you could pick a name if you like. What do you think?
I'm not going to do that because she's your mic and she's your baby. So you need to pick the name. Yeah, but I love her.
It is a lot of pressure. My producer just hazarded a guess at Michael this morning and she got really rudely shot down by me. So it's probably best if you don't hazard a guess, to be honest. I'm quite precious already. Thank you so much for agreeing to join, were.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
My absolute pleasure. So I suppose you wear a lot of hats, Aisha, don't you? Like, you're a model, a content creator. Obviously, you have this brand new role with the guys at Refuge, which I'm going to get into later. But I suppose I just wanted to chat to you first about how you got into modeling. I mean, obviously, for me, who's looking straight at you, it's pretty obvious why, because you're fucking gorgeous.
Oh, thanks.
Did you always want to be a model?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I did theatre and acting, dancing, singing my whole life. And I moved to LA when I was 21.
Was that exciting or was that nerve-wracking?
I think it was a bit of both. But I kind of like overrode the nerves with just like, wow, this is going to be a new experience. It's amazing for me. And I grew up in Wales and I was kind of feeling alienated because there was just a lot of white people. And growing up mixed race at the time, there wasn't so many mixed race people where I was, and also not being like Asian and white. So for me, I just felt super alienated, and with like being curvy also. So then when I moved to the States and I basically got off the plane, there was so many different ethnicities, so many mixed race people, and I just instantly felt like I could see myself in other people. There was people to relate to, there was ways to find myself, and I just felt like at home. So the nerves went away really quick when I first moved over there.
That's so amazing. So obviously in my head I was just thinking like, fuck, because I remember going to uni at 18 and I only went to Liverpool, which I thought was like a huge great big leap. And you know, at that age it is, I'm not diminishing that at all, but like, fucking hell, you went to the other side of the world. So all I'm thinking is, god, I would have missed my friends, I would have missed my family. But I suppose I never had those feelings of not being represented, feeling slightly alienated. So actually it in a way must have felt like going home, you know, like really, I suppose.
In a sense, I just felt like I found my identity. Like, I really found the person that I am. And I don't think people realize, like, as mixed race people, no matter what your mix is, you're very chameleon-like and you can kind of lean into lots of different cultures and ethnicities. And for me, I have friends now from all over the world. Like, and I've been to all different countries where my friends were born and different things. And I've taken all of those different cultures and those experiences, and it's made me so worldly, and it's just added to me being so much more comfortable with my ethnicity. So Yeah, I'm really grateful for my experience moving.
That's lovely. I'm a firm believer that travel like broadens your mind, helps you grow as a person, like makes you sort of like, I just think more interesting. So that's
absolutely,
that's good to know. And did you like LA?
I love LA. I still live there now.
Fuck, am I talking to you from LA?
No, I'm in London right now because I'm doing other stuff here with Refuge, but I've been in LA for 11 years.
Oh my God, that's so exciting, mate. So I've never been to LA. I actually have problems getting in America. I'm really nice now, but I used to be a right little bastard. So Joe Biden's feeling a bit hesitant, and I can't blame him based on my checkered criminal past. It felt like if I sang it, it would make it less awkward, and it didn't. Anyway, so I'm dying to go to LA, but obviously can't really. So tell me everything. Somebody was saying to me, like, it's this amazing like juxtaposition of beautiful, incredible shops on Rodeo Drive and like Hollywood Hills and fancy hiking and everyone doing green juice. And then like you walk around the corner and it's actually quite scary. Is that true?
So LA is it's a vast area. So it's a city that's really spread out in lots of different areas. So if you're downtown, for example, that would be where the homeless people are, but you don't really see that in general around all parts of the city. But I would say the same as in London. You know how like East London is very hipster and then West London's very upscale and expensive. Central London's very touristy. I feel like in that sense, that's what LA is, but it's much more spread out.
Oh, okay. Well, that actually makes perfect sense. So you're in LA, you are at a drama school. Was that just like Being in Fame, the film?
I'm not sure. It was much more strenuous and hardcore on my mental and physical health than it is in Fame, but it definitely had a vibe of that. What I really loved about going to drama school over there was American people are just much more outgoing when it comes to like singing and theater and whatever. So, because obviously Broadway is from New York.
Yeah.
So it was really weird to just go into the cafeteria and everyone's like singing and dancing and everyone's really loud because American people are just loud.
Yeah, they are. So, that's the stereotype, isn't it? But it's a bit true when it comes to like drama students.
Yeah, especially considering my friend group, the majority of us were from all different parts in the world, different parts of America, and we all just like came together and it created this like circle of creativity and loudness and whatever. And it was really great. I loved drama school. It didn't give me a proper image of what LA was like, though. It's very much a bubble, but it was great.
But then I think, you know, whether you're at uni, whether you're at drama school, like wherever you choose to go, like it is a bubble. You're not living like sort of in the real world. It's a little step, you know, it's that next step into being a grown up. So I think that's a pretty normal experience, to be fair. Can I just ask why LA? Like, obviously I'm sure there's loads of people who'll be listening to this who'll think, God, that sounds amazing. How did she get in? Why did she choose to go there? So maybe if you could give them some advice.
You know what? I was auditioning for drama schools in London and I auditioned for a particular drama school, which I won't name the name of.
Which shall remain nameless because I feel like they're about to get dragged.
I auditioned 2 years in a row and I got down to the last round. And if anyone is in theater or is auditioning for drama school, they know that it is like so many different rounds of auditions. They only maybe take at tops 20 people a year per school. So
it's competitive, you know?
It's very competitive. And I got down to the last round 2 years in a row. And on my second year, the head of the musical theater department came out to me and was like, we absolutely love you. We think you're so talented, but you just don't fit in the musical at the end of the year. And to me, that said all I needed to know about the fact that because of my ethnicity, again, I was not going to be accepted because they couldn't see me in the musical at the end of the year. And I mean, I know that it has evolved now, 11 years later, but at the time, you did not see Asian people, especially not mixed race people, not on TV, not in especially not in theater. So, yeah.
Fucking hell. How did that feel, mate? Because like, even like just hearing it secondhand, like I could cry. It feels so unfair and unjust.
It just made me feel like I wasn't good enough or that like I couldn't play. I would never have an opportunity to be in the industry at all as a creative entity. because my parents had decided to not just be one ethnicity. And I was mixed race. And
how dare they? Mate, I'm so sorry. So obviously then you you thought, if I can't get to where I need to be in this country, I'm going to broaden my net, so to speak.
You know what? It just kind of came up, to be honest. I don't even know how. I must have been like on my computer. An advertisement came up for the school in LA, and they were auditioning. They had one audition a year in London, and it was the same day that I got rejected from the other place.
Ah, serendipitous.
So I was annoyed. So I just said, you know what? I am taking myself over to this other audition. So I did everything that I, the same monologue, the same song, didn't even prepare for this audition. So yeah. This wasn't the school for me. It wasn't the place I thought I needed to go. And they called me, gave me a scholarship. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to LA. That's it. And good. I just didn't even look back. That was it. I just went.
Good for you. No, but that's so brave and so exciting. And also, like, it's clearly paid off for you. So then did you start working within the world of acting straight away, or did you just decide
I've had a whole journey in LA. So after college, I had 1 year of basically extra papers that would enable me to work for a year.
Okay. And like a visa type thing.
Yeah. So you would have to work within the industry. But it is actually impossible to come straight out of college and be working to the extent that I would need to work to be able to get a different visa or whatever. So I was working at a movie theater, because still it's under the industry bracket. Oh,
okay. Sneaky little loophole.
Yeah, it was sneaky, but I did it, because technically it's not wrong.
Yeah.
So I was working there sweeping popcorn, literally, and I went to go see a manager about acting, and he was like, well, you're so pretty, but you're just too big. So you're either, and you're also too pretty to be the best friend. So it was basically, I was too big to be the lead, but I was too pretty to be the best friend.
How can people get away with saying shit like that in this day and age, mate?
This industry, they say and do very crazy, disgusting things, especially to women, especially ethnic minorities. So
I don't think I've got a thick enough skin for it. Like, I absolutely couldn't hear this stuff. You must be really tough.
Yeah. I just sat there and I was like, well, okay. Because I was thinking, like, so is he telling me that I need to lose weight or I need to be ugly? Like, I don't get it.
Fuck. I mean, I feel like as a man, he has no right to tell you any of these things anyway. As a human being, he has no right to tell you any of these things.
Men in the industry will excuse it with, well, this is just how you're going to make money, and I'm just telling you in an honest space so you can do whatever you need to do in the industry, which, again, is still not warranted. But, you know, misogynists are everywhere. So that a few nights after that, I went to dinner with my friends, and this was like right when like the curve modeling thing was just starting. Ashley Graham was out, one of the pioneers of the curve modeling industry. But there wasn't really many girls in LA doing it. They were doing it though, and they were like, you know, you should just start modeling. And I was like, oh God, that's like the last thing I would want to do.
Uh-huh.
But then they made me take my digitals, and I got signed to a good agency, a curve modeling agency, within the week. And I was like, you know what? Let me just give this a go. Maybe this is my way into the industry. Yeah. Maybe just go for it. So I went for it, and I ended up finding out that I was the only Pakistani plus model in the United States.
Wow. Well, at least you got the market covered.
I mean, yeah, but it also came with a lot of different issues being the first one and in the curve industry on top of it. So as a whole, we're pioneering for curvy women, for plus size women to be able to be seen and to be represented in the fashion industry. And then on top of it, I'm battling my ethnicity, being the only one and paving the way for all of us. There are obviously now other girls that are getting opportunities, and it just makes me so happy when I see them.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
But it just, at the beginning, it was really difficult to try and like muster through, get the jobs done and get the opportunities for the jobs. And yeah,
I think that's an awful lot of pressure. Like, I don't know if I'm, I don't want to put words in your mouth, mate, but I would feel like super proud of myself, you know, to be paving the way kind of thing, but also feel like I wasn't just doing it for myself. I was kind of doing it for like a whole nation of women as well. Did you ever feel that?
I feel like a lot of the choices in my career have been for women and especially for ethnic women in lots of aspects of my career. And it's very fulfilling. And it's not just because I want to be seen as the person paving the way. It just there needs to be change in so many aspects for women. And I just feel really passionate about it. And I really enjoy working on it. So yeah, it doesn't feel like pressure anymore.
Yeah.
Not with modeling anyway. It did feel like pressure in the beginning, but now I just exist as who I am. And if you like me, great. If you don't, okay, bye. You know what I mean? So yeah.
Is it really lovely to feel like you are finally being accepted for exactly who you are? Like, I know that there's probably still so much progression we need to have in terms of like acceptance for like plus size, curvier models, whatever. But it definitely feels like we're going in the right direction.
I feel like it's not necessarily an acceptance in the industry or in the world, though. I think it's just women who are curvier or bigger in whatever aspect, they're just being unapologetic now. And it's not even, I don't even think it's that people are more accepting. Women are just more unapologetic. And I love that for us.
Yeah. I suppose people have got no choice whether they want to accept it or not. If you're owning who you are and embracing what you look like, people just have to roll with the agenda.
Yeah. And I honestly, there are a lot of things wrong with the body positive movement, with the plus size industry. It's not all positive and great and whatever. I agree that you should love yourself at whatever size that you are, but I do believe that you need to be happy and healthy. Healthy being the key word. And, you know, healthy looks different on everyone. And happy also looks different on everyone. But to be healthy and happy is to look after your mind, your body, and your soul, putting the right foods in your body, working out, whatever it is that helps your mind, your soul. And I think overall it's to become the best version of yourself. So however that looks for you is different, but yeah, it's to also always bear that in mind.
So is that what body positivity means to you?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think you're right, babe. You know, like I've always said, as a woman who has been really, really honest about the difficulty I've had coming to terms with my body, you know, and its ever fluctuating shape. I'm sort of 35 now, and I finally realized that actually being really skinny never brought me happiness or peace. Like, I was constantly hungry and subsequently very hangry. Not a nice person to be around. It's very boring. You know, like training twice a day and counting how many blueberries you put on your porridge is absolutely no way to live. But also I found like the polar opposite of that, where I just completely wasn't listening to what my body needed and was living in an unhealthy way, you know, like too many takeaways, drinking all the time. I found I wasn't happy there either, because I just think my mental health suffered, you know. So it's taken me to being about 35 to realize that actually, like, my happiness lies in the middle, you know. I love to work out predominantly just because it puts me in a really good mood. But also I'm always going to have like boobs and a bum, and I'm okay with that.
But don't you think like hitting 30 just puts you in a new space and mentality about how you feel about yourself and your body and what you will accept from outside sources?
Yeah.
As far as should look like.
Yeah, I think
I felt that way when I hit 32.
30 is like such a wonderful milestone for women, actually. Absolutely. Like, I got really in my own head about it, and I don't know about you. God, it's like you're saying goodbye to your 20s, and I think society kind of convinces you that means you're like saying goodbye to your youth or something, and all the fun things. But my 20s for me were racked with some really difficult moments, you know, like I was learning about myself, but I was having to do it in front of like millions of people, which is not actually a very healthy or great space to grow up in. Actually, you're meant to be able to make mistakes without everyone judging you all the time, you know? So yeah, there was that, like I was constantly riddled with self-doubt and insecurity, just wanting to look like everyone else, but actually like my body wasn't the same as everyone else's. I don't know. I wasn't really happy in my 20s. And then I fucking got to 30 and I was really scared about this because everyone convinces you, you know, oh, your life's over. And it's been class. I've absolutely loved my 30s so far. How old are you?
I'm 32.
Okay, babe. So, I mean, I've got, like, listen, it just is actually getting better every year I get older.
Honestly, it's been the same for me. I was exactly what you're saying. I felt that way too about being afraid to hit 30 and I just thought my life was over. But this has been the prime of my life.
Yes.
Prime in every aspect. Like, I just feel better overall. I have more energy. I'm going around doing whatever I want. I don't care what anyone thinks.
Yeah.
Also, the sex is much better in your 30s when you're a woman.
Oh my God, you made me blush a little bit there. Normally I'm the one who makes people blush. Do you know what? I think it's because, and it's going back to what you said earlier, this word unapologetic, isn't it? Like you just are. And I think like in my 20s, I would have been dead scared to say like, oh, a little bit to the left, or I like it there, or like, no, let me do this. I would have never done it, you know? But like in my 30s, I'm very much like, you know, I'm not afraid to ask for what I want or say what I want. And actually, that's a blanket statement. I don't just mean like in the bedroom, potentially. I don't just mean like when I'm like to my stylist. I mean like professionally. I mean in friendships. I mean relationships. Like we're just, I think you find your stride in your 30s and you're so much less likely to do things that make you unhappy to please others.
Yeah. And what I really learned like in my 29 going into 30 was how to set healthy boundaries.
Important.
I feel like I didn't know how to express a boundary previously. Yeah. And I'm not saying that like when you're in your 30s, you're perfect, because you're obviously ever evolving, especially if you're constantly working on yourself. But I do feel that being able to set healthy boundaries has been such a great thing for me personally. And then also when it comes to sex in particular, I just feel like I'm not just having sex because I find someone attractive like I was doing in my 20s.
Yeah.
Like now there's so many things like mental stimulation and stuff like that I would need for me to want to have sex with someone, which ultimately makes the sex better. And I'm also just more in tune with my body and everything else. So it all just together is like a match.
It's just electric. But then I think like, you know, if you're having that that connection with someone on every level, it's bound to feel more special and more exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. But we don't even think about that, especially in our early 20s, I don't think.
Oh, mate, honestly, in my teens and 20s, like, I feel like I did not know what I was doing sexually. Like, I actually was probably just really wishing it would be over because I had no clue. I honestly don't think I feel like for the most part, and this is really bad, like, I probably was just like, doing it because the fella wanted to. Is that's really bad, isn't it?
And do you know what's really bad is like the women in their late teens, early 20s, a lot of our sexual experience are coercion from the males that we end up having sex with. When I look back on my early 20s, I could probably tell you that maybe 80% of the people I had sex with were people that I got coerced into having sex with.
Yeah. And when you say that word coerced, right, it comes with such like heavy negative connotation, right? But like, I know exactly what you mean. Like sometimes, like I just knew it was what was expected of us in a relationship, or it was what like a fella wanted. So I do it because I wanted to make him happy. And that in the mildest sense is just coercion as well, isn't it?
I mean, men don't know what consent is at all and they need to be taught that. But I think that when it comes to women, I think we don't know how to say It's not even that we should have to say no. If we're giving off a body language that means no, I don't know why a man thinks that they can still keep going. It's all about consent. It's all about boundaries. And also, I think, loving yourself enough that you put yourself in positions with the right people, which we understand that in your late teens, early 20s, you don't really think about those things because you're still finding yourself, and that's okay.
Yeah. I mean, obviously it's super problematic, but I feel like, you know, I say a lot more now, and like every generation, we're all just doing our best, you know, like my mom, her mom before her, they all just do their best. Right. I feel like now the type of child I want to raise, whether it be a girl or a boy, like I want to raise a boy who is like so respectful of women, you know, just like absolutely understands consent, understands like what is appropriate, understands like how they should be treated, like everything, you know, treats women like queens. But then also I want to raise a woman who completely understands like her self-worth is in no way like related to a man's opinion.
Do you not feel that as millennials, we're the first kind of generation that really even looked at our mental health?
Am I a millennial?
Yeah, we're both millennials.
Buzzing. Okay.
So our parents back, they didn't even express their emotions in general.
Yeah.
Us, we're the first generation that really looked at therapy, at our mental health, at what it looks like to be happy and healthy in every aspect. And I think even Gen Z, who's like the generation below us,
they're
even more into those things and being accepting of themselves and finding their identities. And I really believe that, you know, the children that we will be bringing up, we just have worked so hard to instill those things in ourselves that why wouldn't we be giving a different look for a child growing up with us?
I honestly think that's a really optimistic and very like wonderful thought, is that we're going to bring up really lovely children. And that makes me really, really happy.
Yes, really? I think we will, but you can't speak for everyone, but it's very clear that we are understanding of ourselves and accepting of what it is that's good and bad about ourselves, and, you know, wanting and able to talk about things with our children, to even give them a safe space to have their own emotional understanding and intelligence, which I think other generations weren't afforded.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point, mate. That was really lovely. Thank you so much for joining us in part one. Will you come back in part two, please?
Yes, of course.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.